Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
And Father, we worship you. We say, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom is come, that your will be done. We magnify you. We bless you because you are the Father of all spirits. You are the God of all flesh. You are the one that is, was, and is to come. You are the Almighty. It was you that raised up Jesus from the dead and made him sit upon your right hand in heavenly places. You gave him a name which is above all names. You made him sit upon your right hand in majesty, declaring that he should sit until all his enemies are made his footstool. You are God who is determined to bring to pass that which you have spoken. It's an honor to know you. We were rebels who were committed to sin your kingdom for. Nevertheless, Jesus died for us. We say thank you. We are grateful for our salvation. We are grateful for rescuing us. We are grateful for forgiving us. We are grateful for purging us. We are grateful for putting upon us white linen clothes to cover our nakedness. Thank you because we are no longer enemies, but saints. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace you've given. We appreciate you. Oh, Father, thank you for every soul that is present tonight. And for those who will yet hear and those who will still call. Lord, we commit tonight to your hands. We ask the Holy Spirit that you will teach us and open our understanding in the name of Jesus. I ask that the angels of God will be released to minister along with me, that we will do the work of the Father. Amen. Because we pray together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good evening. Can we please come to the front? Can we please move forward? Hallelujah. Mommy, Buku, can you please come? Everybody on that side, can you come over here? You are welcome. Once again, Happy New Year to us all. In Jesus' name. I didn't hear an amen. That I went somewhere and they were saying, can I have a Pentecostal amen? Do you know about a Pentecostal amen? You don't know about a Pentecostal amen? You will jump up and, you know, glory to God. What's the problem this evening? Are we tired? Or is, you are still on holiday? Well, Toby, are you on holiday? Have you resumed? Praise the Lord. The good have not resumed. Pastor D, welcome. I hope you are not tired. Small tired. Praise God. You are all welcome. Mommy, you're welcome. Mommy B, you're welcome. Everybody, you're welcome in Jesus' name. Tonight is going to be the beginning where we are going to be looking at the theme of the convention. As our culture is, we go over the convention theme. 1 week is actually not enough to cover the whole spectrum of that topic. And we found out that even 1 year, it may not even be enough. Hallelujah. And so I want to give us an overview of what we will likely be talking about in the next few months. Not I alone, other ministers will be coming along to help us bring in their perspective on these issues. Praise the Lord. I will say that I think there's a need for us to clarify certain things. The first thing I think we need to clarify is the difference between this topic and what you probably know as spiritual warfare. Kingdom warfare is not the same as spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is an activity of spirits that are unseen. Praise God. When unseen entities do battle with one another, you call that spiritual warfare. And this is the terminology that is very common among believers. Without us realizing that even Babalawo gets involved in spiritual warfare. You should know that. At least from the things we watch. Praise the Lord. When one Babalawo, one powerful person, is confronting another powerful person and say, what is the Rumi like it yesterday? He said, he ate Gary, Otishi. And then he begins to come up with a contention. It's a spiritual, that is a spiritual conflict. You understand me? But when we speak about kingdom warfare, we are going to be looking at it from the perspective of God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. What kind of battles do the kingdom fight? How does the kingdom fight? What are they fighting for? And all the things that have to do with the kingdom. Praise God. People have also reduced spiritual warfare to mean the enemies that are personal to you. I hope you understand. The people that will not want your glory to show. You know that. It's very common. There's this other Ogo Omida. Money Ogo Omida. I don't know why you're interested in SRC. You know SRC or... Yadaba. It's about Ogo. It's about death. It's two things driving the church system today. It's about your personal glory. It's about your personal destiny. And of course, that is because we have a church that lacks understanding. We have a church that lacks insight. Pastor Ogi, I didn't know you were here. Hello, good evening. I hope you're with me. I don't want us to be restrictive to the framework that the people out there have restricted themselves to. We are going to be looking at it from a very broad perspective. Amen. Amen. Of course, when we speak about the kingdom, which we've dealt with for over 1 year, I hope you still remember those things, that we said that the church is not the kingdom. Should you understand? When I talk about the church, we're looking at the universal church, right? Then after the universal church, we look at the national, is it the local assembly, right? When you look at the local assembly, you now break it down to individual persons. Amen. You should know that the whole church is the body of Christ, right? When it comes down to the local assembly, it's also the tabernacle of God, right? Then when you come to the individual person himself is also a tabernacle. Sure, you understand? So you can see that the meaning that you have the same concept being replicated down to the microscopic level. Praise God. So there is the conflict you as a person will be engaged in, which is also part of kingdom, and there's a conflict the local assembly will be engaged in, which is still part of the kingdom, and there is a conflict we will engage in on national and on cosmic levels. Praise God. They all ought to be within the confines of the kingdom. Praise God. Now, since we have something up, I want to also lay this foundation so that you can understand what we are saying. Praise God. Acts 1:3. You know when a person, when the patriarchs want to die, the last words that they have to speak is very important. Very, very important. And this was Jesus making his last, more or less, we're looking at him and what he had to say and or do in the 40 days. Somebody said, you know that Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection talking to his disciples. Praise God. And so you must pay attention to what he was saying in 40 days. And this is what the Bible says. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, And what was he speaking about? What was he speaking about? Things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. We didn't see him speak about crusades. We didn't see him speak about missions. We didn't see him speak about church growth. Are you with me? We didn't hear him speak about those things that are so important to us. We didn't talk about marriage counseling. What was he talking about? Kingdom. So you can realize from this that the major driving agenda of God is the kingdom of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's take from verse 1. Look at what Paul had to say. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already, verse, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it was now being revealed by the Spirit to the only apostles and prophets, verse 6. And this is the plan. When he was talking about the mystery, Paul was explaining the plan. Everybody say plan. He was explaining the plan and was explaining the purposes. Amen. You'll be shocked that many leaders in the church don't know God's plan. They don't even know God's program. They don't even have an agenda. Beyond the fact that they just believe in rapture. How we will get from here to that point, they have no clue. And yet, Paul spoke about it, that this is what God is trying to accomplish, that the Gentiles should be what? Fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through what? The gospel. Now this may not sound interesting to you. For this reason, and many others, Paul's life was in jeopardy. That the Gentiles, you and I, should be what? Fellow heirs. That was profound in his days. Praise God. How can Gentiles be heir to God? Remember I said it before. That what killed Goliath was not the... You are welcome, sir. Was not the sling that David said that stone. That was not what killed Goliath, though. You know what killed Goliath? The principle of the circumcision. What separated a Jew from a Gentile is circumcision. Are you with me? When a person is circumcised, is grafted into a covenant that God, by power of that covenant, is bound to honor. Even though he may not like your faith, covenant compels him to honor the covenant. I don't know why you understand me. He's bound. When you look at Jehoshaphat, one of these kings of Israel, that the Bible says one powerful king came against him and he ran into the temple and began to recite the issue of Israel. Said, when we were coming out of Egypt, you told us not to attack the sons of Moab. You told us to leave it alone. Now they have come to take our inheritance. They was activating covenant. Immediately the Spirit of God rose and said, go and tell Jehoshaphat. This is what I will do. You will not fight in this battle. Nothing gets God annoyed when you break covenant. Covenant is very, very powerful. It's better I don't make it than to break it. Are you with me? So David stood before Goliath. And when he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Goliath was dead. Even if he did like this, Goliath would still have died. You don't understand what I'm saying? If he just did like this, Goliath will fall. Maybe that would have been more dramatic. Praise God. Because he will fall down and die. Amen. He will not die because of the slap. He will die because God will be acting based on the covenant. The others did not know what was going on. They did not understand the principle of the covenant. And so they were weak. So the Bible says those that know their God, they will be what? You shall be strong. It means you must understand covenant. Hallelujah. He said, you Gentiles should become fellow heirs. Sam, is that thing that made Goliath to be unworthy to stand before God has made you worthy to come before God. Amen.
Amen.
Do you understand that? It's a mystery. And yet the Gentiles do understand. Now, you will not understand the plan as you go to Romans, where it said that the reason why God grafted the Gentiles in is not because the original branches were not good. Yes, they were not good, but God broke them to graft you in a wild branch so that it can produce fruit that will provoke the original owners of the vine to come back to God. So don't look at this issue that I'm now enjoying the power of God, the Spirit of God. No, they gave you the Spirit not because of anything, but because God was planning something. You must understand His agenda. Praise the Lord. And not understanding the agenda will make you build wrongly, will make you act wrongly, will make you pursue the wrong things in life at the detriment of your own soul. Like Manzai people used, that Manzai said, drama, what's the name of this film? This drama they have, Unprofitable Servant. Say rather that forgot to change his plan, he will change the man. That's very powerful. That thing has not left me since. God will rather, see God has time. I've always said that to us. He has time. He has a plan he wants to accomplish. He wants to move from there to here. He calls the first person, come and do it. He says, I cannot do it. He will abandon you. Call the second person, I cannot do it. He will abandon you. Meanwhile, he will put everything on hold until he finds the right person. So that rather for his plan to fail, he will remove the man. Are you with me? So Gentiles, you and I, we are Gentiles, should realize that we are coming to the kingdom for a time like this and for a reason. It's about kingdom. And this is the plan of God for his kingdom. So if some of the branches were broken off and you being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them and we then became the partaker of the roots and partners of the olive tree. Verse 18. I'm reading what you gave me now. Oh yeah now. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the roots, but the roots support you. Verse 19. You will say that branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. You are right. Verse 20. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith, but do not be hasty. But what? Fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Why did they break off the natural branches? They forgot the purpose why they were delivered from Egypt. They forgot the purpose. You may not remember the purpose. Remember, Moses was, he wanted to make them a kingdom of priests. God was going to use Israel to evangelize the whole world and save the whole world. There's a place in the prophet, he said, as I live, fear the Lord. Said all, said the whole earth shall be covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. He has vowed it, it will come to pass. But Israel didn't do that. They were busy in Israel, enjoying the fatness of the heavens and the earth. And God had to bring judgment upon them. He said, you are not your fear. If you can do that to the natural branches, you wild olive branches, it won't blink an eye before it throws you away. And that's very, very serious. Hallelujah. Continue. Verse 22. I believe that's the end. It has not ended now. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but towards you goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also shall be cut off. This is one of the scriptures I tell those who believe that once you are born again forever. I say that is a lie. There is a lot of warnings in the New Testament. They also, if they do not continue unbelief, but will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in. Amen. And he said something somewhere. He said, if they are falling away, brought the prosperity of the world. How about their reconciliation? Said resurrection from the dead. So Israel's returning to God may be linked with the final rapture. I've not developed the thought.
and just leave you to go and think about it. Because talk about resurrection of the dead, Paul spoke about the first Corinthians 15, Abi, where we shall say, oh death, where is your sting and no grave? Where is your power? That's the resurrection. Amen. But it's tied to Israel. And Israel's coming back is tied to us, provoking them. There's something Israel is looking for. Have you ever looked for something you don't really know what you're looking for? But when you see the things around you, you know this is not what I'm looking for. But you cannot define exactly what you're looking for. But exactly when you see that thing, hey, this is it. Praise God. Israel don't know what they're looking for. Are you with me? But they know what they're not looking for. There is no technology that you can generate among the Gentiles that can intimidate a Jew. There's no miracle you can come up with that a Jew will be moved. You have raised the dead and so what? What? Tell me one of the greatest miracles you have ever heard about. Tell me anyone. Brother John, what miracle have you heard about? That is when you heard, you say, wow. Raise the dead, you. Jesus raised the dead. They say, show us a sign. I've raised the dead. I fed 5,000 people. Minus 5,000 men, not people. 5,000 men minus women and children. Not one, not wife. They have fed them. They know. They say, show us a sign. We saw that I have said, Moses showed us a sign. Show us your own sign. He looked at them. You don't know a Jew. Ah. He showed us a sign. He said, no sign will be given to you except the sign of Jonah. And he walked away. You can't intimidate them with miracle. They want to raise the dead. They would not be looking at you. Because they were, see, this is their culture, is their nature. It's like somebody who is the daughter of Dangote. And you now bring my car. And you are now doing, God bless me the car. And she's sitting in the audience. I said, say Toku Boto, right? And you just said, church in Badu. Somebody Dangote. Praise God. I don't think you are following my thoughts. Praise God. So these are the things that you must understand. There's something that God is expecting the Gentile church to produce that will generate a longing in the hearts of Jews to say, let us, this is our God, by the way. Give us back our God. Tell us our God. Show us our God. And then the Bible says the end will come. Praise God. Right now, the way we are going about it is not like we even understand why we are even on earth. No, we sing that song. Show me where I fit into your plans. Lead me in the way I ought to go. And I will be forever in your will. Show me where I fit into your plans. The problem is that you don't even know the plan. How then can you recognize it when they will show you the plan? You have to appreciate and understand what the plan is. And this is part of the plan. Tonight I'm not talking about the plan. But this is part of the warfare of the kingdom. Remember that when Adam sinned, Adam fell because of knowledge. Whatever it is that is going to rescue us, knowledge is going to be involved. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let me say once a few things, like I said, as we go forward, these are things we would need to begin to pay attention to. I want us from today to begin to view every activity of God from the perspective of kingdom. It will change the way we read the Bible. That every move that God moves or takes is just because he wants to establish the kingdom. Is that okay? The plan, it will be as if the puzzle, the jigsaw puzzle, will just fall in place. Praise God. Because right now, many of you read Bible, and you don't even understand what you are reading. Because you don't understand the plan. But begin to look at it from the perspective of kingdom.
He is wanting to build a kingdom. Remember Matthew 6 verse 10. Remember, he said in the prayer that he taught his disciples, he said, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth. Again, that is God's plan. So whatever you and I will be engaging ourselves in doing must bring this to pass. Any activity you do that is not bringing this to pass, you have done it on your own. You have served your own interest. I don't know whether you understand me. You have run your own race. That song guy said, show me where I fit into your plan. Lead me the way I ought to go. Whatever way you find yourself and whatever you find yourself doing, if it's not bringing the kingdom to pass and his will is not being done, you have not done anything. Excuse me, let me explain what I'm trying to say. Have you seen people's obituary? Have you ever taken time to listen to obituary of people? Especially in the church, when they start reading, is it? I don't know, what do they call it? I don't know. Eh? Yeah, I want to stop going to the ministry of the dead, honestly, I want to stop. Eh? Me bomb. Call to glory. Yeah, they will now start it now. Okay, let me just explain. I buried my father, so I should have an idea. All his life was summarized in one page. 76 years. 76 years was on one page. As far as we're concerned, it was those important aspects of his life that we summarized in one page. When heaven is going to summarize your life, what would they write? There is a man, they said, of John, they said, there was a man who came from God, whose name was John. That was a perfect summary of his whole life. He encapsulated everything. So when your life is void of you actively working to bring his kingdom down, and you are not working towards getting his will done, you may just get a blank sheet when they're going to read your obituary in heaven. I don't know whether they read obituary in heaven. I don't know. Praise God. You know, you should understand me. Hey, there will be nothing they will say about you. It will just be blank. Then that will be our portion in Jesus' name. So what am I trying to bring across to us? Is that whatever we make up our minds to do, whatever profession you choose, whatever you choose to marry and wherever you choose to stay in life, don't forget this thing. That it's about his kingdom and about his will. If you forget anything I've said, don't forget this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be a preacher to do this. You don't have to be a set man to do this. Hallelujah. Like somebody said, said a brother blessed him. He said, don't need a senior pastor. That was quite... you have to be very careful the kind of things you say. Very careful. Don't play with things that are holy. Israel said to Moses, are we not all holy? Were they lying? They were not lying. They were all holy. But not everyone was set. You have to be careful. I don't do things you should not do. Praise God. And one of the things that leadership should try to do is to replicate the grace upon their lives in people. Are you with me? So that other brothers can do the same. That's the purpose of the whole thing. Amen. Therefore, every one of us must appreciate our placement and our setting. Are you with me? I say, are you with me?
Yes,
hallelujah. So, you don't have to. I've read books that were written by people who were not set men. And it was a blessing. They were not pastors. And God gave them so much grace and they penned it down. And their material was a blessing to people. Praise the Lord. So, each man must find where he or she fits. Let me ask you a question. Who was Simon in the days that Jesus was born? Who was Simon? You remember Simon was the man that the Holy Ghost told him he will not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. What was his position in the hierarchy of the cherubims? I don't know whether you are with me. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a member of the Sanhedrin. You don't have to be the chief high priest. You don't have to be all that. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? So we must keep these things in proper balance. And I believe God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, where I'm going to this night is to help us to see what we will be looking at in the few months to come. I've told us, we are going to be looking at everything from this perspective. Then you realize in look at Acts 28:31. Just reinforce this fact again. Because there are lots of activities in Christianity. In the Christian setup, in the church setup, we have activities. We love activities. Oh my God. If you are not doing something, it will be as if, you know. But look at what the Bible says. What was Paul preaching? He was preaching the kingdom. And teaching those things which concern who? The word Lord means king. Because we can't talk about the kingdom without talking about the king of the kingdom. Amen. That's the meaning of lordship. Are you aware when we preach or when we make altar calls? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That is wrong. An unbeliever coming to God cannot make Jesus Lord yet. He can only make him Savior. He's first of all your Savior before he becomes your Lord. I don't know if you're understanding me. Praise God. He must be first of all your what? Savior. After that, as you walk with him, you now will realize that the time has come for you to relinquish control over your life. Many of us have not relinquished control. We are still in charge. He's not yet Lord. He's your Savior. He has saved you. Amen. He won't deny him saving you. But really, you've not come to that relationship where his word is law. Jesus does not give, he does not give suggestion. Because if he's Lord, he's king. And you know what the Bible says about a king? So wherever the word of a king is, there's what?
Power.
There's power. It's not negotiation. Don't negotiate it. May God bring us to that revelation. Where, you don't understand. If Lord says, you remember Peter, he was following Jesus, and John was following him. He now comes back, says, Master, this one come, why is it, what is his own problem with us? Jesus Christ said, if I choose that he should be alive, till I come back, what's your business? Meanwhile, he has just told Peter how he was going to die. But when you were a small child, you went anywhere you wanted to go. What you want to do? Those are signs of babyhood stage. Hey, but when you became old, and you become old, and you are now aged, hey, they will not lead you where you don't want to go. Thus signifying the kind of death you will die to glorify God. How does that kind of die glorify God? When they cut your neck off, put you in the public arena, and say, this man has spoken evil against the king, the emperor. And he will tell all kinds of lies against you. And somebody there will sit down and pronounce judgment and say, execute him. They were going to execute him, crucified. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my master. Crucify me upside down. He also died the death of a common criminal. Praise God. Am I communicating? That way, when Peter died, who in the fellowship did praise worship? They did praise session. But they were there, I guess. Because they just had news that Peter has been crucified. Oh, praise God, yeah. Get to the drum. Oh, hallelujah. Bang, 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 bang. Did they do that? No. Everybody went and mourning, crying and weeping. Yeah, the Bible says that death glorified God. What glory did you bring to God? Me, I don't know.
You know, when we share testimony, I want to thank God that I was just going, and God just came, and we just, wow, we just don't praise God. I'm happy to that. People just happy to that one that Peter did. You know, are you understanding me? But then I can choose that this one should not see, should not die. And he really didn't die, because he had none of them. He was the only apostle that died by old age. Just left and went on. Every other apostle died violent death. Every other one died violent. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you tonight. So what am I trying to say? He as Lord decides what he wants to do with your life. It is not you to decide. If he chooses to make one like Lazarus, it's a choice he has made. And choose one to be the rich man, he has made his choice. You don't question him. You say, who are that woman to question him? When they were talking about, when Paul was trying to argue with the case of Esau and Jacob. That was sovereign act. So when you talk about law, you talk about the sovereignty of his person. It was teaching things which concern the sovereignty of Jesus Christ as Lord. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. Hallelujah. May we not be forbidden to speak in the name of Jesus. These are things and these are levels of, because I need to lay this foundation so that I can understand the warfare of the kingdom. Amen. Now, having said all this, again, let us go back to eschatology. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. I'm laying my foundation. Daniel 2, 44. And in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up what? What will he set up? The kingdom. Remember, he was interpreting the stone that was cut without hands. And it was thrown at the feet of that image. Are you with me? The interpretation of that act is called the setting up of what? A kingdom. Which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. Praise the Lord. If you do not understand, I don't want to get myself bogged down to the ancient prophecies. But again, you realize that when Jesus Christ came, what many people interpreted his actions to mean, that he came to set up a church system. Jesus did not come to set up a church system. He came up to set up what? A kingdom. Hallelujah. However, you may ask me, what is the purpose of the church? The church is basically the vehicle through which that will be accomplished. Do you understand that? Praise the Lord. So, the Bible says he will not be left for another. Now, when Jesus died and Jesus rose, remember he said, all what? All power. The day he rose from the dead and ascended up to heaven and collected the scroll from God's hands. Remember in Revelation chapter, is it 5? When he took that scroll from the hand of God, so all creation went down and said, thou art worthy, O Lord. That was the time that stone was cut and thrown against that image. That stone has been growing. Now, you don't see the manifestation. It does not look as if we are anything. In fact, Boko Haram is threatening us. Fulani is threatening us. We look very weak. Abi? But it's not so in the realm of the spirit. That's not the testimony in the realm of the spirit. The church is growing stronger. Because that stone is growing. And it's expanding. Amen. Because if you are looking at the wrong indicators, you'll be discouraged. Hallelujah. That kingdom is growing. That stone is growing. And it's breaking in pieces those kingdoms. But we are not seeing it. God will help us in Jesus' name. He says it shall stand forever. So when Jesus rose from the dead and said, all power is given to me, he now said this. Praise the Lord. Mark 16. Let's take it from 15. Mark 16. He said unto them, after I said all power is given to me, hear what he said. He said to them, go ye into what? All the world. And do what? Preach the gospel to who? Every creature. You remember, he came to set up what? A kingdom. The vision told us that that stone began to grow until it outgrew everything. Remember again, he had said that as long as I said the Lord, every knee shall bow, and all tongues shall confess that the Lord is Lord. And the knowledge of his glory shall fill the whole earth. The vehicle of implementing this is the church, right? He now said, you go into what? The whole world and preach the gospel. The gospel is what actually advances that kingdom. Amen. It is in preaching it and hitting people. Every time a person hears the gospel, two choices are before him. He should either accept or reject. Praise God. He now said in next verse 16. He that does what? Believes. And is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. No in between. Verse 17. And he now said, these signs shall follow. Let me pause here and explain this. Remember, before Jesus is coming, a prince ruled this earth. When Jesus came, he said, the kingdoms of this world is mine to give. The same kingdom we read of in Daniel, that he structured them like a massive statue. Praise God. All those kingdoms were ruled by princes. Powerful demonic entities. And that's why I tell people, when you look at Nigeria and you are like, oh God, Nigeria, we are not moving forward. Listen, you can't move forward. We shake me. Eh? You hear what I say? All the nations you see today that became world powers, they had a role to play in the end time, in the program of God. God gave the whole earth to Nebuchadnezzar to rule over. When Nebuchadnezzar's time was up, he took that power. He gave it to the Medes and the Persians, right? After that, he gave it to the Greeks. The guy overran all the armies of the whole world. After that, they took it from him and gave it to the Romans. After the Romans, it's now the 10 kings. The 10 kings started from the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Of course, theologians and ecclesiology and all that are waiting for the revived Roman Empire. Me, I don't know about that. Praise God. But I know one thing. We are in the days of those 10 kings. Am I communicating? And those princes rule over those nations. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. Those nations did not become world power because they went to school. No, not that. In fact, it was after I watched the documentary on Alexander the Great that I began to understand the book of Daniel very well. When the angel spoke to Daniel, said the prince of Persia is judged, and commend the prince of Greece, it took over 100 years when that prophecy was fulfilled. If you watch that 300 documentary, you know the Persians were... I think the Persians were Iranians.
Yes, sir.
The present day Iran. That's because they were power Allah with Trump now. One power Allah and all that. They are trying to revive that empire, but they can't revive because that prince has been dethroned. You can't do it. He's a prince. So what did that prince do? You see, when Persia attacked Greece, Greece was the only small island that they were not able to subdue. They subdued everywhere in the world, but they could not subdue Greece. It's like saying that Nigeria cannot overrun Togo. If all our population enter Togo, we will run Togo. We don't need an army. But imagine with all our army and all our population, we still could not subdue Togo. And in the second part of that documentary, the father told his son, extract stress. I don't know what they are putting in. He said, leave this grief alone. Only God can conquer them. Then leave them alone. If it's a God that conquered them, now we become a God.
Oh.
But the watchers have taken a decree that that kingdom is falling. They finished the case. When Alexander was to become king, his father was a king. Somehow he planned to. Alexander did two things happen to him. There was a legend, they said, that there is this knot that they had in Athens. And said, whoever loses that knot will rule the world. And people have come from far and near, and they could not lose that knot. And he came that day to try his luck. And he tried. Out of frustration, he got angry. And Alexander drew his sword and cut it. From that day, that spirit rested upon him. People just began to draw. They were just being drawn to him. And from that, he began to pick commanders. He began to have wisdom, insight. Because those princes are prince, they are spirits of wisdom. We just say, which will be making commander of the fourth garrison. Bring Solomon, make him the chaplain of the eighth garrison. And he was putting men in place. And the kingdom began to build. Then he began to look for men that were of craft. He began to build empire. And that's how he began to build his empire. He was a link man to that spirit world. When Alexander went to war, they said that spirit will come as an eagle that was visible in the sky. It was flying over his head. No sword touched his body. I think he was using Lux soap. Shema Lux soap. You know that girl in Lux? Very beautiful skin. That was how his skin was. Fine skin. We go to battle. Why did he go to battle? Cool guy. And that's how he was winning wars. So he did not realize that connection until he went to India. It was in India he went to fight the Indians under vegetation, and that thing cut him off. He almost died there. They had to bring him back home. And the bad will never fight again without that cover. So they are spiritual. So when you look at Nigeria, what is the spirit that is controlling Nigeria? Can anybody guess the kind of spirit controlling us? It's not Buhari, it's corruption. The prince over this nation is corruption. It's called the spirit of perverseness. Anything a Nigerian will touch, he will pervert it. It's just natural. You know, we are just anointed. It just flows. Amen. And you don't know why you be like that. And you are complaining. You are making noise. You do not know that the weapon, you are not fighting flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at Ephesians 2. I will be able to bring this thing to a close. Because I'm laying the foundation. Ephesians 2. This is not part of my... Now, you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Wherein in time past, how did you walk? To the course of this world. There is a course. Who determines that course? Prince of the power of the air. There's a prince that is controlling every one of us. They just enact one law that we should not pass here. Immediately the Nigerian mind will kick into action. How can I subvert it? Does that happen to you before? No, I'm serious. Has it happened to you? And all of you are born again. Excuse me. You just start thinking, you know, guys call me. You are thinking of how you can dodge the whole thing. Praise God. It's a prince. So you now know why Romans 12 comes up. He said, do not let your mind go unchecked. Renew that mind. But if you don't renew that mind, you will keep on being controlled by that prince. You can be born again 20 times. That prince will still be your leader. That's why many people will still go to hell, because they are serving another prince, not the Lord. Do you understand? So when Jesus rose and he said, all power is mine, he said, go in my name and let us begin to advance the kingdom. Remember, please, the kingdom is not a territorial issue. It's not a territorial kingdom. is an heart thing, the heart of men. So the kingdom is looking for men, not territories. Again, that's where we make mistakes. We are interested in colonizing or getting old Nigeria born again. It's not like that. Are you with me? It's the person. Get this man born again. Get this man born again. Get this man born again. And that's how it spreads wheat. Is it wheat? So not wheat, I beg your pardon. Leaven. What's that? What is leaven? Yeast. Thank you, sir. Yeast and flows and flows and flows. That's the parable of the kingdom. It's an invasive thing. The kingdom is actually invasive. It's not a defensive kingdom. That's why there is no provision for the back. When they say the armor of God, there's no provision for your back. Because they did not anticipate any of us would be turning our back. Praise the Lord. However, in the process of you going forth, you will confront opposition. Praise God. You will confront opposition. So what did he have to say? Can you take me back to that Mark 16? Move forward. 16, 17, excuse me. He now said that to go forward. These signs shall follow them. The reason why we are not seeing these signs is because nobody is going out. That's the truth. We are not going out. We are not committed. We are not making any effort. So it's as if you look like a powerless personality. The truth is that you are really not powerless. The truth is that you are more terrible than a nuclear bomb. You are dangerous. The dread of you is upon all the nations of the world. But the problem again is that, I guess, you are just intimidated. That's the same problem we have. We are looking at the wrong things. Why could the other members of Saul's army not realize that they were covenant children? Why did they have to take a shepherd boy who had no battle experience to leverage on that information? Simple information. That they've been taught in the synagogues every day. Yet, in the day of implementation, the thing didn't cross their minds. You now know why the eyes of your understanding ought to be what? To be enlightened. When you go forth to preach the gospel, I've been you that have gone to village. Do you not see manifestations? You don't see them. Then you have not gone to real village. Etiwo Amuoleru. Agbaranla. Abi? Kowoleru. Abulemuoleru. They are real, oh. Okay, Solomon. I know you were prayo. You were what? What were you? You were evangelism secretary. You were rugged. You were the rugged guy. How many demons did you cast out in the days of your youth? Many. So be your friend doing good here. You are doing drama. Praise the Lord. When you go out, you can be sure that you will confront the spirits. Preaching itself is warfare. It's an act of war. Once you open your mouth and say, "Sir, I want to talk to you about Jesus." Once you've done that, you have initiated conflict. Hallelujah. So it's not just you're just talking. Because the soul of that guy is going to be determined by what you're going to say. And I can get the guarantee. You now need to remember what Jesus Christ said. That when the strong man is in his house, his goods are safe. But when a stronger than him comes, what must he first do? You must first bind him. When you go for evangelism, I think the first thing you must recognize is that what kind of strong man are you dealing with? Many of us don't know, just go. Are you born again? You're not born again. Ah, is Jesus the Christ? He's not the Christ. You start arguing. You have deceived. Because you don't understand, you don't understand what you are doing. Hallelujah. In my name, what will they do? They cast out devils. You know why we will cast out devils? Praise God. Because all power was given to Jesus. Again, I'm going back. There are two components to our salvation. I hope you know. 1 Corinthians 15. Can you please just jump straight 1 Corinthians 15? 1-3. I'll come back here. Don't forget. Just go. Quickly. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand. What is the gospel he preached? Verse 2. God forgive you. Say amen. By which also you were what? Saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in what? In vain. Verse 3. Hear what it says. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Number 2. And that he was buried. Number 3. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the foundation for salvation. There is nowhere they said a sinner should confess his sins. When you go preach to a sinner, don't tell him to confess his sins. It's not his right or place to confess his sins. If thou shalt believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt do what? Confess that God raised him from where? The dead. Say you shall be saved. That's all. It is a believer that sins that confesses his sin. Say, if anyone sick among you, let him do what? Call the elders. Let the elders pray over him. Are you with me? Yeah. If he has committed any sin, the Lord will forgive. He needs to confess. Otherwise, God will forgive. Praise the Lord. So, when you are going to preach the gospel, like somebody was Randy Clark that was saying it, that some people, missionaries went to India, and they were insisting that the Hindus should be born again before they pray for their healing. And Jesus said, that's wrong. An unbeliever is not supposed to repent. He's supposed to just demonstrate the power and let him repent afterwards. Are you with me? He doesn't have to be born again. He said he met a woman that was not, in fact, this one was a organized or original sinner. She has not been in church maybe her whole life. And she had cancer. And Jesus healed her. Whether she came back to church, Jesus does not mind. Amen. This, go back to where we came from. Mark 16. Is for your encounter with people in the world. You will not see this on the operation. It should not be an operation in the church. The instruction to dealing with people in the church that have issues is not the same instruction he has given to deal with unbelievers you are going to meet to preach the gospel. Are you with me, church? Am I communicating? And so we need to understand the dynamics of this conflict. Satan fighting an unbeliever will use a different strategy to fight a believer. Are you with me? Are you with me? And so you must recognize what you are dealing with and what you ought to do as a believer to helping your fellow believers. So he said, in my name they shall cast out devils, then they shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18. Are we going to say verse 18? They shall take up what? Serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise the Lord. This is not, like I said, is not... Now, you can now begin to see that in our going out, we are going to confront spiritual entities. All the things that we have read here are all different levels of demonic operations. they are going to come against. Of course, you call it spiritual warfare. But basically, it is in order that the kingdom may what? Advance. Amen. Let me close with the story of Ephesians chapter 19, when Paul went to Ephesus. You remember that story, those stories? When Paul was preaching in Ephesus. Ask Apostle Musa. That's Ephesians 19. I said so. It might be, no? It is. You two that went to where you went to Ephesians. I don't know where you went to Ephesians 19 before. Praise God. Ask of Apostles 19. No. Go down. Yeah, let's pass. Let's pass there. Okay, let's pick it up. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Verse 7. And the men were about how many? How many did Paul start with? The kingdom of God starts as a mustard seed. And it expands. How many of us are in all this morning, this evening? We are more than 12. But what happened to these 12 men? Verse 8. And he went to the synagogue and spoke boldly again, disputing and persuading the things concerning what? The kingdom of God. Verse 9. But when divers were added and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Verse 10. And this continued for how many days?
2 years.
How many days? 2 years. I want you to please pause and think. How many times do we have our meetings a week? 3 times a week, Sunday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. Paul was meeting with the church for 2 years. I want to assume Paul was meeting with them every day for 2 years. In Ephesus, you met us, no, it's the same Ephesus that Paul preached a whole night. You know, one brother slept off and fell and died. I want to believe that Paul began to preach, I want to believe that he began to preach his message around 6. And preached till 6 a.m., 12 hours. And the church of Ephesus could sit down and listen to Paul for 12 hours without getting up. How many of you can stay for a lecture for 4 hours and you will not, your mind will not shut down? You now should begin to realize why it was the church of Ephesus that Jesus could commend. That church was a very, very territorial church. But listen to what happened. He said it was with them for 2 years. This continued for the space of 2 years so that all the Greek dwellers in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and the question is, who preached the gospel to the Jews and the Greeks? Was it Paul? It wasn't Paul. Because they said that Paul stayed in one place called the school of Tyrannus. He was there, and there he was doing what? He was teaching. But how did the whole nation get to know about the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Are you with me? Those 12 disciples were the ones who went out to go and start telling people. I don't know whether you understand. And as they told people, they told Brother John. Brother John told, what's the name again? Wale. And Wale told Anu. And Anu told Doctor. And that's how the thing began to spread. Until the whole Asia Minor got to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have time for special programs. And then, God moved into another realm. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Verse 12. Brother Michael, have you come? Yeah, I can see your handwork. So that from his body they were brought onto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Praise God. But that didn't end there. The Bible, do we need to read the whole story? I should just summarize the whole story. Then, standing of the vagabond Jews, exhausted, took upon them to call upon the, over them which are evil spirits. Now you see that the ministry began to thrive. Amen.
Amen.
Paul sat in Tarano, that school. He didn't go out. And people were taking, they would just touch his body and they take the handkerchief the person's possessed and the person will be delivered. Paul was not there to even do the deliverance. Just the handkerchief was doing the deliverance. That's what people call it special miracles. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And when they saw this thing going, they felt that it was an opportunity for them to eat. You know, right now, everybody is now putting fire after their prayer. You know, have you not noticed that? Even redeemed. Because the mountain of fire is expanding. So they assume that the reason why mountain of fire is expanding is because they put fire after their... Oh God, have mercy. Praise God. So they tried that and it did not work. Verse 14. And there were seven sons of one skiver, a Jew and a chief of the priest, with this soap. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. I'm not doing the numerology tonight. But do demons know you? Have you threatened them to the point they can say that we know that guy? We have met before in the battle. Jesus disgraced them. But he triumphed over them openly. Are you with me? So they classed Jesus in his own class. But a man came to Ephesus, sat in one location, and was dealing with demons without going out. So they said, but we know Paul. So what have you done in your small area that demons in your locality know you? So I was hearing the story of Pastor Shafe. Shafe was so terrible that cultists used to fear him. If it's come like this, they'll go another direction. You say, wah, 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 wah. They know he's going to preach. They can't hurt you. Have you become a terrorist? That you are on their death list. And they want to assassinate you. Yeah, we'll teach a ministry. Who is he bearing? God will help us in Jesus' name. So we know Paul. But who are you? And the next verse, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Verse 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. 18. I will stop there. And many that believed came and confessed their deeds. The next verse said they brought their magical books. These guys were going to church. They were attending service, but they kept magical books at home. So it's in Babawa. She understand? How about the city church? I told her city Babawa. Hallelujah. I want Baba won't show guy. It's in Juba. It's called Kwake Jije. We were the same alone as John Quay. She understand the road drill. That's what these people were doing. Until there was a decisive breakthrough in the realm of the spirit. The Bible said they brought their magic colors. But they valued the cost of what those guys had invested their lives into. It was serious. Then the Bible says, then grew mightily the word of God. That is what we need to achieve in every city. It's not crusade. If God grants us the money and the other, we'll do the crusade. But after Rena Bonke's crusade, on those, Akure was still the same Akure. People didn't change. Pastors were fighting in four square over Rena Bonke's book and Bible. Fighting over offering. Then he didn't do anything. This is a standard. Now the Bible says, if you read the rest of the story, not only did they burn their magic books, and the price, look at verse 20. Excuse me. I'm closing. So mightily grew what? The word of God and prevailed. You know what the word of God means to prevail? It means that when it began to cast down people's imaginations. People began to live their life by the standard of God's word. You don't need to be a believer. That word will have control over your life. Why is it that even in America, when you meet an unbeliever, one thing that I found that we both hate is their life. So back around, your life is finished. That's finished. But in Nigeria, we're going to be more right now. We're going to understand. We're not getting it. No understand, no problem. It's our nature. But if Oyibo can just find something not right, he doesn't know God though. That's the residue of the influence of God's word. Those revivals that took place in those years past, we are still seeing that residue in their lives. The revivals that happened in Nigeria, where's the residue? Do you still see it? People are still ungodly, wicked, mean as they ever were before they gave their life to Jesus. Am I still communicating to you? So you now know that we have not really begun to scratch the reality of the power of the kingdom. Forget all the things we said we are doing. This thing needs to be redefined for us. Excuse me. And then we will now begin to believe God for this. Amen. This is the standard for warfare. And the word grew in Asia, and the whole of Asia began to give attention to the word of the Lord. You will understand why all the seven letters that Jesus sent to the churches were sent to all the churches in where? In Asia. They were churches that Paul founded. The one our brother Peter did, we don't hear about them. The one the others was did, we don't know about them. But the one that Paul did is what we are still enjoying today. Praise God. You now know why they gave us the Holy Ghost. They didn't give us the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues. They gave us the Holy Ghost to advance the kingdom. Are you with me? So that's why when you have manifested the gifts of the Spirit, you have manifested with an understanding that you are walking in tandem with the program of heaven to advance the kingdom. So it's not about us. It's about Him. And I'm trusting God that we'll have a change of mindset. Because without that, we can't move into the next. We can't even talk about the warfare. Because if you don't understand these basic things, ask you to step into warfare will be asking you to go to battle without any protection. So there must be a commitment in your own heart . There was a type, I will close with this thought. This is the last one. The men of David. When they came to meet him in Hebron. Those men that came to meet him in Hebron. The Bible said they came with one heart to make David king. That was their determination. Nothing else was in their mind than how they were going to make David king. When you come to God, one thing must be on your mind. How are you going to make his kingdom? If you don't have that disposition, you can't fight in this army. Everyone will just ask you to go and sit down. Okay, try. God bless you. God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What kind of heart do you have? What is the overriding passion? What's the overriding ambition? Is your own ambition stronger than the ambition of God? God has an ambition. And it's that he has invited you and I to walk with him to bring his own ambition to pass. You remember when he said that seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. Then every other thing. That's what it simply means. Once you make up your mind to pursue how his kingdom will be established, you will pursue your own. That was just simply saying. That's the principle of the tithe. Give me first to eat. Are you with me? Think about me first, and I'll take care of your own needs. So when you don't think about him first, he has no obligation to think about you too. It's just like that. Do you understand it? Do you understand that? So, let us from this point be committed. Even if the most have 20 million, is that not called 20 million? Let them arrange. David said, in this will I be confident. It's not how tall the demon is. It doesn't matter. It's not by height. That's the story of Goliath. It's what is inside here. Are you committed to seeing his kingdom advance? Father, I thank you for tonight. Can we just appreciate the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. I just thank you, Jesus. Lord, I commit your church to your care. Commit your people to your hands. Lord, as we go forward in this course, I pray, Lord, that you'll be able to open your scriptures and your mind to us. I pray that, Lord, you'll be able to help us to, you know, buy into your program, buy into your plan, and we'll be able to make them our own too, in the name of Jesus. You will teach us how to set you first and trust you to take care of our needs. The widow of Zarephath said that I have nothing to eat. Elijah said, give me first. And she gave, and you took care of our needs. Father, help us to do the same. Teach us what we need to do. Help us strengthen our hearts. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether I should just take off and go tonight. Or are there questions? Do you have questions? All right, Salumri. Just go ahead and speak. We don't have the time. Hallelujah. No, it's not possible. No. I know from experience, it won't work.
He said, if
you go, this I shall follow them. It's a follow. Only law, only tell me.
Because you put joking. You can't be practical and be followed.
It's not done. They're not paying attention. They're not paying attention. You didn't listen to the words. These signs shall follow them that believe. It's a condition. Those who believe.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.